Are you a technical man? I love to say yes. No. But you've got quite a good system here. Is this, I'm going to do the same thing for my thing. You've got, this is glue chip, right?
Yeah.
This is quite a good one.
It is. We're
happy. It's made a dramatic improvement to the quality of the sound. Anyway, I'm just going to start. Yeah. Rabbis, good morning. Our limud of halacha every day is as a schus for the refuah of Yosef Dov Ben Chayla, Yishtav Refuah Shleima Bekor B'Sor Shei Chol Yisrael. So a brief halacha. Next week we won't be able to change our clothes because it will be the 9 days. We won't be able to wear fresh clothes during the week. So the poskim say that clothes which are very close to the skin, in other words, underwear and socks, if it's very sweaty outside, if it's very hot outside, and the person normally changes every day, yeah, then it's like this. If they are saturated, if they actually do get very, very sweaty, then one can change and one can wear fresh socks, you can wear fresh underwear. If not, then the suggestion of the poskim is that if you normally change once a day, try and change once every 2 days. Let's move on to shirts, because the shirts are probably the most negeh lemaisa. We don't change our shirts during the week, but the minig is that we wear our shirts keshor echos during the week, earlier this week. In other words, during the course of this week, we wear our shirts and prepare them for next week so that they're not freshly laundered when we wear them. Shaila is, how long is keshor echos? How long do you have to wear a shirt in order to say that it's no longer not yet freshly laundered? We had a big discussion about keshor echos in the Hilchas Bas HaBacholov, where we were talking about having a milchig kiddush before fleishig asuda, and there it says you have to wait keshor echos. And the shaila is, how long is keshor echos? Not talking about where you've eaten hard cheese when you become milchig for 6 hours. It's about soft cheese, but the chilik that you need between your kiddush that some people have a milchig kiddush on the first day Yom Tov and the kiddush and the fleishig meal. So there, keshor echos. The poskim also say pashtus shor echos means an hour. Then there are some who say, well, Shor Echos means an hour, therefore, Roif Shor, 31 minutes, is already called Shor Echos. And then there are others who say, the Shor Echos means anything. Because we say in Asher Yotza, that if our body wasn't functioning properly, and that means even a second. So, but that's not comparable to here. What we're looking here for is, how long is it that you're wearing your shirt so that it's no longer regarded as a freshly laundered shirt? And again, the poskim discuss for anything between a few minutes and 2 to 3 hours. And most poskim say, shor echos means shor echos. If you've worn a shirt for an hour, it's no longer regarded as freshly laundered, and then you've got no problem wearing it next week.
Sure.
Oh, sorry, I can't make an answer. Ronnie's not here. Give me a poster. Torreway, Northwest London. Sunday, Chof Dalad Tammuz, 20th of July, Rabbi David Olofsky Shlita. You gotta love the Jewish people. No, really, you have to. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. And first and foremost, I would like to thank my hosts, Rabbi Sandler and Rabbi Samson, who have brought me out here to please finish by 9 a.m.
That's the weekday, well.
Oh, okay. Then, okay, I could take a hint. Sorry, you're out of time, Rabbi. Anyway, they are starting something called Project Inspire here in England. And Project Inspire is this organization that's been in America for quite a few years. They have these big fancy conventions, and it inspires from people to get involved to do outreach to the not yet observant community, and they have met with tremendous success. It has not yet started in England, and so the two rabbis have brought me in for this purpose. And they said, when you speak, see if you could mention that we are starting Project Inspire in order to try to reach out to the not yet religious Jews in a subtle way so that people will know it. So we are starting Project Inspire to reach out to not yet religious Jews, and we'd like all of you to join. How is that? Subtle? In America, that's called subtle. So, I was speaking for an organization called Keren Ezra Shabbos, where they make this giant Malava Malka. They came up with this very clever fundraising idea for, they invite yeshiva guys who don't have any money and to a big Malava Malka, and they give them free food and they give them entertainment and they bring me in to speak. And the idea is at the end to get them to sign up that when they go back home to raise money for Keren Ezra Shabbos, which gives, you know, food to families that don't have any money, you know. So he says, try to explain it to them subtly. So I said, see this? This is food. Some people don't have any. We want you to give us money to buy food for them. I said, how is that? Subtle? Anyway, okay. I always try to look out for the underdog. And in that sense, so does Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right? Kodesh Baruch Hu always sides with the nirdaf, even if the rodef is a tzaddik and the nirdaf is a rasha. He sides with the nirdaf. He always goes with the underdog. And therefore, he always tries to make sure that things work out fair at the end, that everything works out. So as we know, Moshe Rabbeinu, who Chazal tell us was Zoriz in the avoda of making the Mishkan, finished it. He started. They started building it on Sukkot, yeah, and he finished it on the 25th of Kislev. But Hashem said, "You have to wait till Rosh Chodesh Nisan to put it up. But I'll make it up to you, the 25th of Nisan. You'll become a Chanukah of another." Chanukas HaMishkan. So that was fine. When Shlomo Melech was building the Beis HaMikdash, and again, the Chazal say the same thing, that he was Zoriz in his Avoda, and he managed to finish it in Mar Cheshvan, and Hashem said, you have to wait till Tishrei. But don't worry, Mar Cheshvan, I'll make it up to you, that you will be the time when the third Beis HaMikdash is dedicated. Very nice. So the reason I thought this is that, as you know, when you were in Shul on Shabbos, instead of reading the proper Haftorah for Parshas Pinchas, we had to skip it and read the Haftorah of Matos so that we get in the three Haftorahs of Teichacha, and the poor Haftorah got left out. So I would like to now give it its due and speak about that Haftorah, if I may. Yeah? The connection is pretty clear because the pasuk says that Pinchas was a kanoi, and this is the story of Eliyahu, where he also says, "Kinei kinei sila Hashem, Elokei tzvakos." I'm a kanoi, and that's why the Chazal tell us that Eliyahu is Pinchas. Whether it means he lived that whole time, whether it means he was a Gilgal, whether it means he was spiritually the same person. Whatever it means is there's a connection between these two characters. And Pinchas, as we know, right, stands up on behalf of Klal Yisrael for the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and kills Zimri and Cosby in order to stop this Magefa, which is destroying Klal Yisrael. Now, our Haftorah is the second part of the story. The first part of the story is the Haftorah in Parshas Kisisa. Wherein, as we know, the background to the story, the Gemara tells us, is that Achav is going to pay a shiva call to the fellow who tried to rebuild Yericho and all his children died because of the klola of Yehoshua. And Achav says, nah, don't worry about the klola of Yehoshua, why you worry about the klal of the Talmud? Worry about the klal of the Rebbe. Because Moshe Rabbeinu said that if you bring in Avodah Zarah, there won't be any rain. And we've had plenty of rain, and I brought every Avodah Zarah into Eretz Yisrael. So Eliyahu HaNavi says, Ad Kan. Yeah, I'm a Kanoi. Did it just start now?
Yeah.
Hi, good morning, welcome everybody. I'd like to welcome everybody. I'd like to mention that I'm here on behalf of Project Inspire in England, and we want everyone to come to our program this evening and to please participate. It'll be in Hasmonean at 7:30, and please come, and we're going to reach out to our fellow Jews and change all of Klal Yisrael. Thank you. Anyway, so it was recording. Hi, this is... So, I don't care, I could do this forever. So, So Eliyahu is filled with kinnah for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want the keys of Shemayim. And the Gemara in Tainus says there are three keys that Hashem keys with him all the time. One is the key to Geshem. Masil Shem says, but if you reach that level of Kedusha, when you hold those, you're as if it's still in the hands of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's mamash on the same level. So he gets the keys, and he closes down Shemayim for 3 days. Excuse me, 3 years. 3 years, there's no rain. Now, when I moved to Eretz Yisrael 36 years ago, the main water source was, of course, the Kinneret. And when we would have a drought, for a few years, the Kinneret would drop, and it became very dangerous. And they said, if it goes below the red line, we can't take out any more water. So what are we going to do? So it went down below the red line, and Israel snapped into action and drew another red line underneath that one. You know, when it went below that red line, they said, okay, this is the black line. This one we're really serious about, you know. So Baruch Hashem never hit the black line. But it would be terrible. You wouldn't have rain, and it was absurd. Back then, there was no water system. There was no way of transporting water. There were lakes, there were rivers, etc. But when they start drying up after a year, after 2 years, after 3 years, animals are dying, people are dying. Disaster. It's a terrible, terrible thing. So. So after 3 years, he comes to Achav, and Achav says, you destroyer of Israel. He says, me, it's you. You brought the Avodah Zarah. And he says, yeah, but that's because you brought the drought. Okay, enough of this. Let's have it out. Tomorrow, Har Carmel be there. Yeah? You bring all your priests of Baal, and I will come representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as he says in this part of the story, right? Ozvu b'risecha b'nei Yisrael ez mizbuchai chanecha harasu v'ez nivi'echa haragu b'cherev. All of you in Nevi'im have been killed. V'ivaser ani levadi. I'm the only one left. Now, he's not being a drama queen, you know, he's not being a diva. And when he says, I'm the only one left, he means it. I'm it. And so he stands on Har Carmel, and they say, whoever can bring down the fire from Shemayim, they're the ones who represent the true God, right? So, priest of Baal says, look, there's so many of you guys, you go first, you know. So, they start dancing and chanting. And he says, listen, you know, he might be sleeping. You know, do it louder. They fall for it. They're doing it louder. He goes, oh, he might be in the toilet. Give him a little time, you know. So, he says, you think so? He says, how much time? He goes, well, does he have a magazine? Yeah, give him a little time. You know, soon he'll come out, you know. Fine. They're chanting, they start cutting themselves. He says, that's good, do that more, you know. Finally, half the day has gone by, nothing. They give up. So then Eliyahu says to the Jewish people, how long are you going to straddle the fence? If God is God, follow God. If Baal is God, follow Baal. But don't be Jews for Baal. And he says, Hashem, answer your people. The fire comes down, and Bnei Yisrael throws themselves on the ground. Hashem elokim, Hashem elokim. This was a bad time to be a priest for Baal, and the people are infuriated that they have misled them, and they kill all the priests of Baal, and it starts raining, and happy ending. That's where that Haftorah ends. And this is where it picks up. This is where the story goes. Yeah? So after they were all killed out, V'tishlach Izebel Malach Eliyahu Leimor, Ko Ya'asun Elakim V'ko Yosifim K'ke'es Mecha Asim Es Nafshecha K'nefesh Achad Mehem. He sends a messenger to him to say, this time tomorrow, I'm going to have you put to death. Come on, you can't touch me. I just did this unbelievable miracle on Har Carmel. All the Jewish people are behind me. You can't touch me. And what do you mean, tomorrow? If you can kill me, but you know you can't kill me. But that's not Eliyahu's reaction. V'yayu v'yokam v'yelech es navsha v'yavu b'er-sheva ashal Yehuda v'yinach es na'arosham. And he goes down. V'yisho es navsho lamus. And he just asks to die. And Hashem says, okay, what's going on over here? And he says, yeah, Kana Kanisi La Hashem Elokea Tzvah Kais. The Jewish people left your bris, they destroyed your mizbeach, they killed all your nevi'im, I'm the only one left. V'yavakshu is nafshi l'kachta, so kill me. So he says, come with me, I'm going to bring you to Har Sinai, I'm going to put you in a little cave where Moshe Rabbeinu was when I did the Yud Gimel Midos. And he stands there in this little cave. V'yini Hashem oyve v'ruach gedolah v'chazok mefarek harim v'shabes sloyim. This tremendous wind coming, breaking mountains, smashing boulders. And nonetheless, it says, lo baruach Hashem. V'ach aruach rash. And after that, this tremendous noise, v'lo barash Hashem. V'ach arash eish. And then this tremendous fire, v'lo b'esh Hashem. V'ach ha'esh kol d'mam madaka. A small, quiet voice. V'hi kishmor liyo. He covers his face and he knows that is the voice of Hashem. V'yomet malacha po Eliyahu. What are you doing here? Now, Eliyahu already gave his little speech. Then Hashem showed him this whole vision. And he asks him again, what are you doing here? And surprisingly, Eliyahu gives the same answer. V'yomet kana kanis l'Hashem l'kei tzvakoski, azu b'risechem, v'yiswaz b'cher. Yeah, v'yivakshu is now shili l'kachta. I want to die. So he says, okay, you obviously did not get the message. And you're not going to die. You're not going to die. Catch the next fiery chariot up to Shemayim. And you are the one person in history who's not going to die. Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov died. Moshe and Aaron died. David, Shlomo died. Yeah, you're not going to die. Why is that? What went on here? What was Ezebel telling him? And what did Hashem try to teach him? And why was his reaction? Ezebel comes to him after the dramatic story on Har Carmel and this tremendous miracle and this tremendous nace and says, great job. You did a great show. The jokes, the fire from Shemayim killed my priest of Baal. It's unbelievable. I can't touch you today because all the Jewish people are on your side because of this tremendous vision. You know how long it's going to last? 24 hours. And this time tomorrow, I will kill you and it will make no difference. And Eliyahu says, she's right. It took me 3 years of famine and drought just to get their attention. And then I did this unbelievable thing where they realized Hashem Elokim. Now how long is it going to last? One day. And it's all going to be over. I give up on the Jewish people. Your people have broken your bris. They have sinned. They've killed the Vim. I'm the only one left. I just want to die. Because there's no more hope. The hope for Klal Yisrael is gone. Hashem says, come with me. Let me teach you something. You see the big wind that's breaking mountains? You see the fire? You see all the tremendous show? You don't find Hashem there. That's not how it works. I wish I could tell you that. I wish I could tell you, you'll do one big, unbelievable performance and it'll win everybody over. It doesn't. It's the kol d'mama daka. It's the small, quiet voice of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's the constancy of learning every day, of davening three times a day, of I heard somebody on the radio once, a chinuch expert, and he says, I hear parents say to their kids, I've told you 100 times. He says, but Hashem tells us 100 times not to do aveiros, and we don't listen. And we don't expect them to give up on us. Tell us again. Don't give up. So we run out of patience for our kids that fast. Yeah. So the truth of the matter is that you don't get what it is. But Eliyahu says, no, it's not going to work. It's too late. I give up. He says, you know what, Eliyahu? You're right. You cannot lead Klal Yisrael if you don't believe in them. I don't need you telling me anything bad about my people. Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen to become the leader of Klal Yisrael because Hashem saw that he saw one of the sheep running off from the flock, and he chases after him until he catches him. Yeah? And he says, oh, I didn't realize you were going to the water to drink. Now you must be tired. I'll carry you back on my shoulders. And he says, that's your approach to those sheep. I want you to take care of my sheep and to care about them. When I was in Eretz Shel, I had been running an organization in Long Island called NCSY, a youth organization. And when I got married, I went for a year to Eretz Shel to learn. And while I was there, so Noach Weinberg asked me if I'd give some classes about how to run a Kiruv organization, because I'd been doing it for years in Long Island, you know, to the guys in Asia who were thinking of going out. So one of the topics they gave me was professionalism in Kiruv. I was learning Chofetz Chaim in the morning, and I said to Rabbi Chait, you know, I'm supposed to speak about this topic. What does it mean? He says, maybe this will help. And he pulled out a Yalkut Shemoni. And during those 7 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was arguing with the Kodesh Baruch Hu on the mountain, he says, you want me to take millions of people out into the desert? How am I going to protect them from the heat? How am I going to protect them from the sun? Where am I getting food for them? And I've got people, I've got women, I've got pregnant women, I've got nursing women, I've got old men, I've got little children. Where am I getting the nuts and candies for the children? And Rabbi Chait looks up at me and says, children are being used as bricks in the wall in Mitzrayim. They're being slaughtered for their blood. And Hashem says, go and save them. And you say, but where will I get the nuts and the candies to give the children? Because I have to worry about even the littlest kids. What am I going to do with them and how am I going to take care of them? That's what it means to be a leader. That's what it means to take care of Klal Yisrael. And Eliyahu, you want to tell me the Jewish people are no good and they've sinned and it's over? You've lost faith in the Jewish people? You're right, you can't lead them. But you don't get to die. No, you're going to stick around. You're going to stick around. And you're going to have 3 jobs. I'll use you every now and then, you know, to dress up like a Roman and save somebody. But, you know, Nachman Shkamzu, you know, something like that. But I'm going to give you 3 regular jobs. You're going to go to every Pesach Seder. You're going to go to every Bris. And you are going to announce the coming of Mashiach. So, what's Pshat? How does it work? They did a study in Israel. There's only 2 things that over 98% of the Jews in Israel still do. Right? Pesach Seder and Bris Milah. They did a study in New York. And they found that 80% of the Jews still keep 2 things. Not Hanukkah and not Yom Kippur. Pesach Seder and Bris Milah. Which makes sense. Those are the first 2 mitzvahs we got. When the Yad HaMitzrayim B'Damayah Chayi, by the Dam of the Korban Pesach and the Dam of the Bris Milah. They're what makes us Jews. And Eliyahu HaNavi, who gave up on the Jewish people 2,500 years ago, now has to schlep around from Seder to Seder and from Bris to Bris on this people that he's given up hope on and say, they're still here. And at the end, he's going to eat a big piece of humble pie and he's the one, yeah, V'saros, Toros, Yeshuas, V'nechomois. He's the one. Hinei Anochi Shalech Lechem, as Eliyahu HaNavi He's going to announce Mashiach has come. You see these people that I gave up hope on? They're still here. Because Klal Yisrael, you have to believe in Klal Yisrael. You have to believe in the ability of our people. And if we lose hope and we lose faith in Klal Yisrael, and that's why it's very important for us to remember that the stronger Klal Yisrael is, so Mesillas Yesharim says, everybody, every chassid davens for Klal Yisrael. Why? Because everyone knows we're Hashem's people. And if somebody comes in and kills a bunch of us and destroys a bunch of us, that's a reflection on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the Nazis took out the Tells of Rosh Hashiva to kill him, and they first smashed him in the head with their rifle butts and he fell to the ground bleeding, and they said to him, "Where is your God now?" And he says, "He's not my God, he's your God too. And one day you'll realize that also." So when they see how the Jews are treated and what happens, we're God's people. I remember during the first Intifada and all the terrible press that was coming out against Israel. And there was an op-ed piece in Newsweek magazine where it said, yeah, it's true that the media is tougher on Israel. It was an amazing article. Because you're supposed to be the chosen people. What an amazing thing for a non-Jewish publication to write. You are the chosen people. You have to live to a higher standard than everybody else. It's as if they understand it in their collective subconscious. So if the Jewish people aren't being the Jewish people, that's reflected on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But because I'm a big believer in self-interest. You know, I teach Mesillas Yesharim. I've been teaching it for years, but when I teach, he says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create us? Why are we in this world? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us to get the greatest possible pleasure, which is the spiritual pleasure of being close to Hashem. So someone said, well, that sounds like a selfish motivation. And I said, yeah, it is. It is. Of course it's selfish, you know, because people are selfish. And when we tell people, no, don't think about yourself, you know, sacrifice, suffer to be a Jew, that's never been what Yiddishkeit has been about. It's about understanding that Hashem gave it for us. He's infinite. He doesn't need anything. He gave the world to us because he loves us and wants us to have the greatest thing. So I'm a big believer in self-interest. Yeah, being a Yank, we had this general during World War II. He was over here, General Patton. I had a famous quote. He said, I'm not looking for people to die for their country. You don't win wars by dying for your country. You win wars by making the other guy die for his country. You know? So I don't believe that anyone should suffer for Judaism. People should find out that Yiddishkeit is the most beautiful thing in the world. But in the Chukosai, when it's talking about the brachas, v'radfu v'kem chamisha meyo meyem v'kem revavu yudafu. If you keep the brachas, 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. Says Rashi, that's not the cheshbon. If 5 of you are chasing 100, then each one of you is chasing 20 of the enemy. But if 100 of you is chasing 10,000, each individual is chasing 100 of the enemy. So it doesn't work out. It should have said 100 of you will chase 2,000. And Rashi says it's to teach us an important lesson. Yeah? Said, you cannot compare when a miut of Klal Yisrael is keeping the Torah to when a majority of Klal Yisrael is keeping the Torah. When a minority is keeping the Torah, then each one of you are at 20%. And when rove of Klal Yisrael is keeping the Torah, then you're at 100%. You can chase 100 of the enemies, but if not, it drops down to 20. There are organizations that talk about Jewish survival. I'm not worried about Jewish survival. Kodesh Baruch Hu promised we'll exist. And we'll never fall below that 20%. That's why Chamushim Alu B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim, 20% came out. They'll always, that's a minimum number. Yeah. Someone did a study once throughout history. They said if you compare the amount of Jews who went into Churban, after the Churban Bayis Rishon, and how many came back, it was 20%. The amount of European Jewry that survived the Holocaust was 20%. He says, you find it throughout history. Would that be less than 20%? And right now, the firm world is about 20% of what they claim world Jewry is. I don't know how much world Jewry is actually still Jewish, but they say it's 20%. We'll never fall below that. But as long as we only have 20%, we'll survive. But we're at a weakened capacity. I always tell people, get involved reaching out to fellow Jews, not for them, for us. Because the more people who are on board, the stronger we are. And the stronger we are, and the more Yidden who are keeping Torah, then the greater it's going to be for everybody, for every one of us. Yeah. So we are in the end game. Yeah. What does that mean? That means I had somebody who brought his Talmidim to see Reb Chaim Kanievsky about 4 years ago. And he said, is Mashiach coming? And he says, no. He's outside knocking on the door. He's right here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for us to do the last things that have to be done. We have to believe in Klal Yisrael. We have to say, who are the people who deserve to come back before the end? And they're waiting for us. Rav Moshe Shapiro said once, he goes, the key to Kiruv Rechokim, if I could tell you one secret, says, don't get in Hashem's way. He wants to bring back the last Yidden who deserve to come back before Mashiach. And you have the schus that he's allowing you to act as his shaliach. And you can go over with minimum effort. And I have to tell you, my daughter works on NYU campus in Manhattan. Very liberal university. And to get Jews involved was very hard. It says, but after Shmini Atzeres, when the terrible attack took place, they come looking for me. Because there are so many Yidden now who say, I can be the most liberal Jew in the world. I can be try to be the best American, the best Englishman. It doesn't make a difference. They still hate me. And so they're looking. They're ready to hear it. They just need somebody to turn around and knock on their door. So tonight, I'm going to be speaking. We're having a program. I'm going to be giving do's and don'ts of Kiruv and how to answer basic questions on Judaism. And you may be the last one who pulls in that neighbor, that person at work, that final person, and gives you the ability to be able to make that difference, to tip that balance, to reach that critical number that will bring us Mashiach, and Mirza Hashem, which is Zaycha to an Emes Agula.
Rabbi Sa, just to let you know that everyone is invited tonight to hear Rabbi Orlovsky again. He's speaking for Project Inspire on outreach on how to answer difficult questions and what to do and not do in outreach. 7:45 at Hasmonean Boys School. 7:45 to 9:30, Hasmonean Boys School.
Pleasure, thank you.
First thing we do.